Guys, it's so good to be here this morning. This is, to me, this is home. I love being able to stand before you guys and preach God's word. It's so cool to be here. It's been a crazy 2 months for me. I think we were here about 2 months ago, and since then, a lot has changed. At the time, I had my girlfriend. About on October 24th, I proposed to her, and then on Friday, I married her. So, yeah, come on. Woo! Oh, yeah. She is beautiful. God works miracles. Sarah's here with me. Can you wave your hand? And then Satan has a son, my stepson, a.k.a. my son. Caden is also here. So we're just excited to be here. So got engaged, got married. Sarah actually ran the Chicago Marathon. That's crazy. It's like, what's wrong with you? And then I agreed to do it next year. So is this recorded? So that happened. You know, we moved. Some of you guys might tune me out after this, but the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Praise God. Yeah, there we go. Amen. That's my crowd over there. And then, you know, we got the Buckeyes won yesterday, so there's a lot going on here. But again, I'm just super excited to be here and just really expecting God to speak to his people like he wants to today. We'll look at a couple of different scriptures, but kind of the main scripture we're going to look at and where this message is really birthed out of is a very familiar scripture. It's Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. We're just going to look at one verse, the third verse. Psalms chapter 23, verse 3. And it says, he restores, some versions say, refresh my soul. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. I'm going to pray. I always like to do this challenge, you guys, because we're not here to hear from me. You know, no one needs to hear a word from me, but we came together as a family because we believe that God wants to speak to his people. And whenever there's a setting like this, a gathering like this, that's my prayer is that, Lord, that you will hide me behind the cross and that you will speak to your people. And that's why we're here, amen? So when I pray, I just want you guys in your own heart to agree with me that, Lord, we just need to hear from you. We need a word to take root and produce good soil inside our hearts and our soul. God, that's why we're here. Amen. Let's pray. God, you are awesome. Lord, what a blessing, Jesus. God, I'm just super excited to be here. And Lord, I'm very aware that I can't do this. God, I don't have anything, Lord, no power, God, no words, but you do. And God, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. We as a family, your children, God, we say now, God, we just want to hear we want to hear your voice. We want to hear your words, God. Tune our ears to hear you, Lord. God, I pray if there's any distractions around us or in our minds that would prevent us from hearing the word, God, really right now, take that thing away, God, so we can focus in on you. Speak to your people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So what God has laid on my heart to speak about this morning is something that's very familiar to me because I constantly think this way, and I constantly, in my heart and in my mind, these thoughts are always there. You know, listen to me for 3 minutes, you can tell I'm just a very passionate person. I approach life with passion, and for me, I am very passionate about seeing my brothers and sisters, you guys, the people of God, reach their full potential in Christ. I mean, something that I think about for myself and for us as a family, my mind is constantly thinking and praying and hoping and desiring for us as men and women of God to really reach our full potential in Christ. For us to experience the life that God has called us to live and to settle for nothing less than that, folks. For us to rise up and be the people that God has intended us to be. For the body of Christ to live with passion and to live with purpose. For us to be very intentional and very in tune with that. That we are people that God has called us to live with passion and vision and purpose. That we have a great calling on our life. And that we won't forfeit any other life than what God has called us to live. And I've experienced, and this is a conversation I have quite often, but I've experienced that many people, not in second service or for maybe the first service people, maybe some of you guys as friends, but in talking to people and watching people's lives, it's been a real reality in the body of Christ that for many people, they've lost a sense of purpose. That they've lost their sense of calling and vision for their lives. That they wake up and they do their day and they go to sleep and wake up and do it again. And never in their day is there an intentional thought or a sense of calling and passion and vision for their lives. Yet, if you look throughout the scripture, if you look in your Bible, scripture is permeated. Scripture is flooded with the fact that God has called us, that God has created us with purpose, that God has given us vision, that God has given us passion and purpose for our lives. Yet many of us are so disconnected with that. But it is my prayer, it is my passion, it is my desire that God would use me, whether it's on a platform and in conversation with however it looks, that the body of Christ will rise up and that we will be the people that God have called us to be. That we will wake up ready to go out there and fight the battle of faith. That we will wake up with great purpose. That we will wake up and have vision for our lives. That we will wake up and step into the calling that God has for our life. And that you won't settle for anything less than that. You called. You have vision. You have purpose. And it's who we are. Jeremiah 29:11 says, listen, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but listen, you are God's chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Folks, we are chosen. It's time for us to really live like that. It's time for us to really be connected with that. People of vision. And I love the story of Joseph. I mean, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible to see Joseph go through this stage and ups and downs. He would get lifted high and then get just knocked back and knocked down, and they keep going. And I really believe it's because he had this great sense of purpose. I mean, nothing was going to stop him because he knew why he was created. And he understood that there was a calling and a vision and a plan that God has for his life. And I want all of us, I want that for all of us, to be gripped by that. My passion is to see God's people reach their full potential in Christ. It's obvious, people. We are created with a great purpose. You know, the work that God wants to do in our lives, it happens not from the outside in, but it really happens from the inside out. You know, people in the Bible reached their full potential because they allowed God to do a work on the inside of them. And here's the thing. God wants to do a work on the inside of all of us. None of us are exempt. God wants to do a work on each and every one of us on the inside. And so I want to talk about our soul today. I want to connect with our inner being, our soul. There's a connection here. I've read this psalm so many times, and I felt like I've missed it. But I love how the psalmist says, he refreshes, he restores my soul. And then the connection is, he restores your soul. And it says, then he guides me along the right path for his namesake. So the process of growth, the process of walking into who God has called us to be is he restores our soul. So I got to ask you today, what is the condition of your soul? What is the condition of your soul? Listen, our soul, our inner being, the whole totality of who we are was designed for desire. Our soul was designed for desire, and not desire for God. Our soul was designed for to be desired, and that desire is for God. God is the satisfier of our soul. God is the one who satisfies our soul. I love what David says in Psalms chapter 42, verses 1. He says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. He says, my soul thirsts for you, the living God. Psalm 63, verses 1 says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. He says, my whole being, which you can put soul inside of there, my whole being longs for you. Lord, I thirst for you. And so, listen, I've been thinking about this. I mean, we've heard verses like that, but when is the last time you were at a place, just you alone with God, and you can honestly say that that was the communication of your soul to him? And I'm not asking that your mouth said that to him, but when is the last time you were alone with God and your soul, the inner being of yourself, said, God, my soul, my inner being longs for you, God. The very being, inner being of who I am, God desires you more than anything. And if that's not the case, there's not something wrong with God. Our soul was created to thirst and long after God. And when was the last time we had an honest moment with the Lord and said, God, Jesus, Lord, there's just a longing inside of me for you, God. God, as a deer just pants for water, I got to have water. Pants for the water, but God, that's the same communication inside of me. There's something on the inside of me that just longs after you, God. I want you, God. I need you, God. I want more of you. The inner being of me longs for you. When is the last time we had that type of communication with the Lord, folks? Follow me, because this is, first of all, it's just who he is. Our desire for him, that's just why we were created. But if we're ever going to reach the calling that God has for our life, if we're going to reach our destiny, he has to be the satisfier of our soul. Nothing else would do. Everything is an added blessing. But he is the satisfier of our soul. Man, I got me a beautiful wife. Woo! Yes. Hey. It's beautiful. I mean, there are days where I just long to be with her. Just long to have time with her. I mean, she's a blessing. I thank God. Oh, God, you're awesome for her. But listen, she's not the satisfier of my soul. And how many times, folks, listen to me, how many times do we allow things and people to be in a place that they were never supposed to be in when God is the true satisfier of our soul? Folks, what prevents us from allowing God? Because listen, there's nothing wrong with him. What allows us to put something else in the place of the very thing that was created to be the satisfier of your soul? And my hope and prayer is that as we leave this place, we can go before the Lord and repent if we have to, and just have a moment and say, God, you, oh Lord, God, you are the satisfier of my soul. God, thank you for these other blessings. But Lord, you can take all those things away, God. Don't take You don't leave me because you are Jesus, the satisfier of my soul. Our soul was created to be satisfied, and God is the satisfier of our soul. Folks, our soul was created for worship. Our soul was designed to engage in and worship. And I've got to ask you, is your soul engaged in worship? I mean, we do church really well. We understand the format. You know, you rise up, sit down. Sometimes you raise up your hand. But worship is so much more than that. Our soul was created to be engaged in worship. Our soul was created to be engaged in worship. Psalms 100, chapter 101, verse 1 says, it says, praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. I love this. It says, all my inmost being praise his holy name. Psalms 108 says, my heart, oh God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Psalm 146, I mean, these scriptures flood, especially in the book of Psalms, the fact that the our soul was created to be engaged in worship. Praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord. Come on, I say praise the Lord, you say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 146 says, praise the Lord. It says it again, praise the Lord. He says, my soul. It's not just I'm articulating it, but my soul, my innermost being was created to engage in worship. Mary was singing a song and she says, my soul. No, yes, my mouth and my hands and my feet, but she went deeper and she said, listen, my soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. Folks, when Mike is up here playing or whoever's up here playing is not, it's never for entertainment. You know, we have these things where I love that song or that song's my favorite. I get that, but in this time, folks, this is sacred time. You know, when he's up here and whatever words are up there, this is sacred time. This isn't just time to feel good or be entertained. It's really sacred time. It is an opportunity for our hearts and our souls to engage with the Master and for us to say, God, yes, oh, in my soul, you are good. In my soul, God, I love you. Oh, God, I love to worship, folks. I love the opportunity I get to go before the Lord and just the my soul agrees with whatever I'm saying, and that's true worship. When you say, oh God, you are good. Oh God, you are merciful. Oh God, you have saved me. Oh God, when I think about your goodness and all that you've done for me, my soul can't help but to give you glory. God, you are awesome. You are strong. You are mighty. You are for me. You're not against me. You have great plans for me. And my soul testifies that that's the case. And so how often do we come to a place where we just read the words and just like this half-hearted worship. That soul was created, folks, to engage in worship. True, authentic worship is that is engaged with your soul, that your soul can testify with your heart and your mouth that what you're saying, you believe. And that's true worship. That kind of worship gets God going. That's the kind of worship that he really receives. Those who would seek him and praise him and true in their soul. So our soul was created to be desired, and God is this, the, what am I saying? I'm just kidding. God is the satisfier of our soul. God is, our soul is created for worship. And lastly, I'm going to stop here. God is the healer of our soul. I was just really connected with this recently. And I think for most of my life, I You know, you think you're okay, but God is the healer of our soul. God wants to make us whole. And, you know, it really hit me a few months ago. Me and Sarah were at a church service, and this man was really bringing the word, and it was in front of young people, and people really responded. And I had a moment, I just remember with tears falling down my face, that these young people were literally, and it's not because they were just exuberant and out of control, but they just really had a moment where they were just weeping before the Lord. I mean, they were just crying and crying and crying before the Lord. I just had this aha moment, and I'm like, wow, God, there are so many believers who are really hurting. There are so many people who are really hurting, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Folks, what we do is we tend to put a Band-Aid on our wounds, right? We tend to put a Band-Aid on our wounds when God's deep desire for our soul is that he wants to heal it. I'm going to ask Mike to come and help me close. This just means that there's hope that I'm going to end. This is the ending. No, there's just hope. We tend to put Band-Aids on our wounds when God wants to heal it. You know, there are things that happen to us in our lives that maybe you have control over, maybe you don't, but there are real things that happen to us, and I wonder if we ever allow God to heal them, or we just keep living, right? You know, I mentioned earlier, I love the story of Joseph. I mean, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But for me, one of the real miracles that happens in Joseph's life is the fact that he allowed God to heal his wounds. I mean, a lot of times you read the Bible and you're like, oh, that's a cool story. But if you like really allow the Holy Spirit to give you insight and really read it for what it is, that story just amazes me that what Joseph went through, he allowed God to heal him. I mean, Joseph's brothers resented him. He was his father's favorite. And so his brothers resented him because of that. And so initially, you guys might know the story. Initially, his brothers plotted to kill him. But they decided, you know what? We won't kill him. We'll just sell him into slavery. And then God elevates him. And he's like living for the Lord. Potiphar puts him in charge. He's serving the Lord. What happens? Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of trying to seduce her. And then he was thrown in jail for years. Here's the thing. Don't think for a second that these things that Joseph went through didn't affect his soul. I mean, there's no way for, you have brothers that you love, for them to take you, think about killing you, throw you and sell you into slavery, and then not do a number on your soul. And then you're like living for the Lord, right? And, you know, you're living for the Lord, things should be going well. And you're doing the right thing, and you were falsely accused, and you were put in prison for years. Don't think for a moment that that didn't affect his soul. But the end of the story is amazing. It's amazing because he gives this true healing statement, folks, that he was, why do I cry every time I speak here? His brothers, he was put in charge of Egypt, and his brothers were here, and he actually had a moment where he just wept because he looked at the hurt. He looked at the pain that he had gone through, but then he had this liberating, healing moment. And he looked at them and said, listen, what you intended to harm me, here's the flip. God intended for good. What you designed to harm me, the hurt in my soul that the devil will want in your life to keep you down, to get you away from your true calling, to let what happened in the past mess you up for the future. It's funny how it's sad. It breaks my heart how some of us, we stay there. It's like what you intended for evil, what you intended for harm, some of us stay there. Joseph said, yes, that was intended to knock me down, but God, I love but God statements. This was intended to destroy me. This was intended to steal my joy. This was intended to mess me up. This was intended so I would never reach my destiny, but God. And I don't know any of your story. Let's face it, life is hard. There might be a person in here, you have a failed marriage. There might be a person in here, you were abused physically. There might be a person here that you were abused with words. Some of you guys might be dealing with the death that you have never, ever really faced. Some of you guys, you've had your heart crushed. Some of you guys, you just have a nasty past. If you never really dealt with it. And what we do, folks, we put a Band-Aid on it and just keep plugging away. Folks, I just want to have a real moment with you. I feel like I can do this. We're family now. I'm your distant cousin. I just want to have a real moment with you. Folks, be honest with yourself. What is the hurt inside of your soul? Notice that many believers, we do church really well. We know how to come in here and smile like everything is okay, but there's something on the inside of you that needs to be healed. And I just want to ask you, what wounds and hurts do you have? There's some of you guys, you've been silent for years. And you've been walking around for years carrying a wound, a hurt that God wants to heal. And it's time for you to be real. It's time for you to be honest. Says, I love what Job says. He just has a real moment. He says, listen, I'm tired. There's this anguish in my soul. There's this hurt in my soul that I won't keep silent anymore. Says, therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Some of you guys really need to do that. What is hurting you in your soul? And as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you guys, and you can identify it right away. It's almost like this. There's many people in here, but the Lord is literally speaking to you. And you can identify it right now. For some, you got to dig a little bit deeper. But maybe there's something there that you've ignored for years. And here's the thing. These things affect you. These things affect you. Even if you don't think they do, they affect you. Just because you don't talk about them doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. Some of you, your insecurities, they stem from a wound that God wants to heal and free you of that insecurity. There are some of you, you can say, you can endlessly say something to someone and it'll trigger something it was never intended to trigger inside of you because there's a wound in your soul. For some of us, we won't reach our potential Christ because we believe the lies of the enemies, the lies of an enemy, because we have not allowed God to heal our soul. Listen, I want you to hear this very clearly. Listen, and this is our God. This is the Joseph statement. Our misery becomes our ministry when we allow God to heal our wounds. Your misery becomes the very ministry that God wants for you when you allow God to heal your wounds. He's a healer of our soul. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but God wants to heal our soul. I'm speaking, folks, from experience. You think you got it all together, and God does something in your life, and he wants to heal your soul. It's funny, me and Sarah were dated, and there was a point in our relationship. She's just wonderful. I mean, I was like, you know, bringing some things in her life that I was like, I think God wants to heal your soul in this area. And she took the initiative and to do that. And because of that, she's whole. She's whole. And in the process, God's like, all right, there's some things that you've got to deal with in the deep recesses of your soul. Will you allow me to heal that? Because that will affect your destiny. That will affect the purposes that I have for you. And here's the thing, folks, he knows. I love this verse, and then I'll close. He says, David says, I will be glad and rejoice in your love. He's a God that sees. He says, for you saw my affliction, and you knew the anguish of my soul. That's so cool. I mean, God sees it, and he knows it. He's just waiting for you to allow him to come and heal it. He is a restorer of our soul. I'm going to pray and then worship. These altars are all open. Maybe some of you guys need to do business with God. Maybe there's been something in your life for years you've held in, and God's wanting to heal that. Can I just encourage you to let him do it? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? Just be honest and real with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the healing process, but be honest. Amen? Lord, you're good, God. You're so good. Jesus, you are so good. Lord, we worship you. Father God, thank you so much that you're concerned about every aspect of our life. I pray for my family, Father. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just work in this place, even right now, inside of our soul. God, you do the speaking. You know what it is. God, you understand what needs to take place. God, give us the wisdom to really, really respond in this moment. For somebody, God, they have been putting so many things in front of you. And what they need to do is set that thing aside and say, God, you are the satisfier of my soul. God, be the satisfier of my soul. There's others in here that they come here every Sunday and never really engage in worship. It's just a thing that, it's on a list of things to do when we come here. It's on a format. It's what's next in service. I pray that you would check that person right now. Bring them to the point where in a time of worship, that sacred time of worship, that their soul, God, can be engaged. And lastly, God, for that men and women who are in here today, Father, and they live in pain, that their soul, God, really needs to be healed and restored. I pray that that person will respond, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Pray for your son. Pray for your daughter who kept that hurt inside for years. Lord, may true healing take place from the inside out, Lord. Restore our soul, God. Restore our soul. Restore our soul, Lord. Do it now, God. There's so much at stake. Pray that you will speak to them now, Jesus, and restore their soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, you guys are awesome. This church is awesome. Your leadership is awesome. You guys, I just pray blessing over you, that as you leave these four walls, there will be this greater connection in your soul, that you can articulate to the Lord that you are, God, my heart's desire, that I worship you with all my soul, and that you are the restorer of the brokenness in my soul. Love you guys. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great day.